to glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. The adventures of Alibi Jones continue on Glow in the Dark Radio. I'll be reading you Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on this show. And I'll set it up for you, too, so if you're brand new to listening or it's been a while, have no fear. You can enjoy this even if you haven't been. So, it's pretty much a cliffhanger situation, because at the end of our last episode, Alibi Jones was under attack. Now, he had just been assaulted by an alien ghost ship, which seems to have infected him with some part of itself in a really strange way. He was experiencing that in our last chapter as well, our last episode. Collective consciousness called the Rodae. They don't seem to have physical bodies, but they existed on that ship, the ghost ship, evidently kind of in a dormant state, and Alibi and his crew's investigation seems to have started to wake them up. And now they are in touch with him inside, in his mind, because they've managed to infect him. Got inside of him somehow. So that's something he's dealing with. And one of the doctors in the place that he's been taken to recuperate, Ceres Central, all of a sudden was attacking him. She started to put something into his IV. He stopped her. He saw her doing that, and he caught her, and he stopped her. And now she started to lunge at him with the hypodermic. So she's coming at his face with this needle, and, you know, it's not the way a doctor usually comes at you with a needle. So that's where we're going to be picking things up. That's my little story so far. But that's where Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest gets underway in just a couple minutes here. First, I do have a little bit of book news. I have a lot of book news, actually. Just announced the pre-order is available for Alibi Jones, 6 short stories. This is the all-new edition. It has the brand new short story, Alibi Jones Christmas Present, that we just had on the 500th episode. It's your chance to get this in print. It's the first chance to get the other stories that are in there in print, because Alibi Jones' 6 short stories originally was only a audiobook release. All those early versions of those stories in The Adventures of Alibi Jones' 6 short stories were attempts to take comic book scripts and turn them into audio presentations. So there really weren't print versions of a couple of those stories. There never was like a print prose version of Blind Eye, except for the comic book version. Because back then I figured there are print versions. These are in the comic books. These are in The Adventures of Alibi Jones, issue 1 and issue 2 from Glow in the Dark Radio Comics. But I also realized over time that, you know, a lot of folks that just like to read books, don't want to read comics. So some Alibi Jones fans haven't gotten these stories. So yeah, I decided I'm doing an ebook and a print version of The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories. So not only can I finally put out these early stories in actual story form as opposed to comic book form in print and ebook, but also so I can release Christmas Present. And there's a whole big introduction where I talk about that whole process. So that's coming out on the 15th. You can pre-order it now. Go to glowinthedarkradio.com/AlibiJones6shortstories for all the details. And that link is in the show notes. But not only is the brand new story in there, Alibi Jones Christmas Present, but as I was saying, I didn't really have prose versions of a couple of the stories, so I had to write brand new adaptations of Alibi Jones' Blind Eye, which I had kind of adapted on the fly from the script. The same was true of Alibi Jones' In Over His Head. There really wasn't a finished prose version of that. So not only do you get Christmas Present knew, but really Blind Eye and In Over His Head are new versions of those stories, new rewrite, new adaptations, new rewrites. So that again is coming out on the 15th. Spent most of my weekend working on that and doing new audio versions of the new Blind Eye and the new In Over His Head. Now, if you're with me on Patreon and you're on my second tier or third tier, you can get Blind Eye for free right now. So there's some incentive. Head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Can use your support there. I've now made it so all my patrons get the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life, which I was giving away to folks on my email list. So now there's two ways you can get that exclusive. And if you want to get Blind Eye before it's released, and kind of for free because you're paying as a Patreon, so it's like free in quotes, right? But Blind Eye free and first for you if you're a patron. Also getting my act together for Aresia 2019. That's coming right up in 2 weeks. I'm going to be down in Boston, Boston Park Plaza Hotel, for Aresia on January 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. I'm actually only there 18, 19, 20, because I don't have a panel on the 21st. Most of my stuff is going to be about working on comics, though, as it turns out. It's just the way things shake out this year. I had a big panel on self-publishing that I was part of last year that got some good feedback. This year I'm going to be talking about writing comics and adapting from one form to another, talking about the indie comic revolution and how to make your own comics. So those are some of the panels I'll be doing. I did put a blog post together on those, and so you can get that information at the blog, glowinthedarkradio.com, or just in the show notes. There's a link in the show notes. And I got my invitation to go to Balticon again. Balticon 53. They invited me back. So yeah, I will be going to Balticon if all goes according to plan. Coming up on Memorial Day weekend. That's a little ways further down the road, but I did just get information on that too, so I thought I'd share. So I've updated the website, so that's all cool now. Should work better on your mobile, too, on your phone. So I heard from some folks it was hard to look at. Things were overlapping and things. So that should be better now, I hope. So, yeah. It's been a busy weekend. I was up, like, just doing stuff all weekend. And now I'm still doing this. It's, you know, Sunday night, and I'm putting the podcast together here. Oh, and I should mention that the first book that I am the narrator of, that is not a book of mine, is out. My audiobook narrating career is underway. There's a book out now called The Productivity Method by Chris Allen, and it is narrated by yours truly, Mike Luoma. So yeah, I've been actually using some of the stuff I picked up narrating to try to be more productive, which is cool. Side effects, byproducts, I like it. But yeah, that's The Productivity Method by Chris Allen, and I am the audiobook narrator. If you need a professional audiobook narrator or professional voice work of any kind, just get in touch. I'm at glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. And always happy to talk to you. And that's all for news. Up next, we've got Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. And if you're a writer, you should check out the Melting Podcast.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story?
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah. My characters are giving me trouble.
Well, then what about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Ah, perfect.
The Melting Podcast. A writing variety show featuring a little of everything, from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!
Ugh.
Now here's Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi dodged the needle as it neared his right eye. The woman's arm shot past his head. He grabbed her shoulder, used her momentum to push her backwards toward the wall behind them, next to the bed. "Hey!" she cried. Then Bialy's head hit the wall with a dull thwack. She sank to the floor, out cold. "Security!" Alibi called out. "Help! Security! Intruder in my room! Security!" Krish visited early the next morning to let Alibi know the safe had Bialy under lock and key after her middle-of-the-night raid on Alibi's room.
"Dr. Bialy was trying to kill you," Krish said, filling in Alibi. "The toxin in that syringe was as potent as it was untraceable. Would have looked like a mistake with your anesthetic."
"What did I ever do to her?" Alibi asked.
"She was an acquaintance of Lenora Schwald," Krish offered. "Maybe she blamed you for her death."
"But you said Schwald and scientists didn't get along," Alibi said.
"True," Krish admitted. "I don't really know, to tell you the truth, Alibi. They're questioning her now. Maybe she'll tell us herself."
"I'd like to question her," Alibi said. "Maybe use some old-fashioned methods, involving syringes."
"I don't think that's an option, I'm afraid," Krish said. "But maybe they'll let you see the session after they finish. I'll check."
"Thanks, Krish," Alibi said. A few hours later, the local commander consented to let Alibi watch the footage of Bialy's questioning. At Krish's urging, the lead investigator on the case came to visit Alibi. He set up a small view screen, projecting over the hospital bed.
"As you'll see, we've charged her," Safe Inspector Benta said. "She gave us all we needed."
He pressed play.
"I almost died on Kismet," Bialy said. "My Brian did. He killed my husband. Alibi Jones is a murderer. He killed so many. He shouldn't get to live."
He hit pause.
"It was an accident," Alibi said. "Kismet. Still." "We don't think she worked alone," Benta said. "But she's acting as if she did. Not giving up anyone else."
"Who do you think she was working with?" Alibi asked.
"We don't know," the inspector said. "Someone who could get her assigned to this secret mission, despite her animosity towards Alibi. Look, watch this."
The inspector called up another media file, dated back a couple months to just after Constantine offered up Alibi as the culprit behind Kismet's destruction. A distraught, disheveled Dr. Bialy appeared on the screen.
It's been hard," Bialy said. "Hearing the news, I've kind of relived it all again. Losing my Brian. I don't care whose kid he is. If I saw that Alibi Jones myself right now, I'd kill him."
The inspector stopped the playback.
"That was her on a news show. Not exactly hiding her feelings."
"Nope," Alibi said. "Chilling, hearing her say that.
Yet she had friends that got her assigned to take care of you," the inspector said. "They didn't have to be her friends," Alibi said. "Just people who knew what she wanted to do and were willing to help her do it."
"Yep," Benta said. "Was using the term friends loosely." Alibi laughed to himself. "You know, they say the Depot Fringe is a dangerous place," Alibi said. "And that's certainly true, but the heart of the Solar Alliance seems pretty dangerous, too. At least for some of us." Inspector Benta looked like he was having trouble digesting his dinner. He leaned in to whisper to Alibi past his grimace.
"The newest people are bad actors," the inspector whispered. "The safe is being undermined by the advancement of those who support the new prime rep and his party. You are not one of their favorites. It is easy to see how this situation could have been allowed to develop. They are ascendant. You are not."
The inspector looked around, as if worried of eavesdroppers.
"I will look into this further," he said. But if I get any pushback, I'm gonna have to let it go. Just so we understand each other.
He leaned back. I see, Alibi said. You do what you can. Thanks. The inspector left Alibi alone in the hospital room. Another safe trooper remained outside and guarded the door. But Alibi was starting to wonder if there was any real safety for him here on Ceres.
Need to get back out to the fringe. To the hornet's nest.
He put in a call to his Aunt Anita.
Time to get out of the solar system.
She wasn't available, off on her mission. So Alibi left a request for a call back. A few hours later, he heard the comm ping.
Your mother wants to talk to you, the hospital comm center informed Alibi.
They must mean Aunt Anita. People do that all the time. Think she's my mother. Good. I'm glad she's calling. Had a bad feeling about her mission, for some reason.
Sure, put her through. Been waiting to hear from her, Alibi said. It wasn't Anita. His actual mother, Ruth, was on the comm.
But, no, wait.
Alibi hadn't seen or talked to her in over 20 years. Hadn't been in the same room with her since the day she shot and killed Alibi's father when Alibi was 3 years old. Now, there she was, on the comm screen, right in front of him.
Hello, Alibi, she said.
Alibi didn't know what to say. He stared straight ahead at the woman. She was older, but looked like he remembered on some level.
Seen more pictures of her than anything.
Looked a bit like him, truth be told.
You look good, she said. Are you doing well? Are you okay?
Alibi looked away from the screen. End! He called out, severing the connection. He stared back at the blank screen.
Handled that well. Not my fault. She surprised me.
What was that all about? Krish asked as he walked into the hospital room. After the unwelcome interruption, Alibi was glad to see a familiar face. Dr. Curry followed Krish in.
You look like you've seen a ghost, Krish said to Alibi.
Maybe it's because I just talked to one, Alibi said.
Oh, really? Krish said. What did you say to it?
Nothing, Alibi said. I, didn't know what to say. I broke the connection.
Oh.
Alibi sighed. He looked down at his leg. I want to check out, Alibi said. Doctors Krish and Curry nodded, but didn't move.
Now? Alibi added. That's not possible, Krish said.
Dr. Curry shook his head.
Why not? Alibi asked. Maybe in about a week, Krish said. But we are still doing tests on your leg. We also had to call in another cyborg specialist after losing Bialy. They won't be here for a few days.
We don't know yet what danger that leg poses to you, or to the rest of us, for that matter, Dr. Curry said. It's not safe for you to be in an uncontrolled environment at this point. There's no telling what could happen.
You've only just got your blood counts back up to normal, Krish said.
Alibi frowned.
It's okay, Alibi, Krish said. We'll get you back in the field in no time.
The two doctors began to leave the room. Krish, hold up a sec, huh? Alibi called out.
Go ahead, Mal. I'll catch up, Krish said to Curry.
He came back over to the side of Alibi's bed.
Krish, did you ever know my mother?
What a strange question, Alibi, Krish said.
Why, no, not really. I know of her, certainly. I knew your father well. We all know how she killed BC.
She called me up, out of nowhere, this afternoon, Alibi said.
The ghost I saw.
Oh, Krish said. Well, I am sorry to hear that. So you didn't talk to her?
No, I hung up on her. Cut her off.
Well, Krish said, not sure what you have to say to her, eh? She shouldn't have surprised you like that, I suppose.
Nope, Alibi said.
Well, you might want to call her back, Alibi, Krish said.
Why would I want to do that?
It is sometimes a good idea to reconcile with our mother and father, even when they are distant and remote. It can free up your own spirit.
unshackle you from chains you didn't even know you were in.
Is that philosophy? Alibi asked.
Common sense, Krish said. Can't build on shaky foundations now, can you?
Krish looked over at the door.
I've got to catch up with Dr. Curry, Krish said, but I will see what I can find out about getting you back to your base.
Thank you, Krish, Alibi said, as Krish headed out. Alibi called up the comm to conduct a search, to see if he could find out what was up with his mother. He thought she was locked up, put away. But it turned out she'd recently been released from the hospital facility where she'd been held since she'd killed his father, Bernard Campion, and found insane. She was listed as a resident of the colony world Fortuna. It looked like the old cult she'd been in was trying to make a comeback there. Someone was calling themselves the Light, the traditional name for their leader, and calling old cult members to join them in their commune. Some of those members seemed to have arranged for his mother's release into their custody. They'd used her father's name, but he was long dead.
How can they do that? What's going on here?
Something else caught Alibi's eye. He hit a news item featuring his mother. It was filed recently, within the last 12 hours or so. A glaring graphic showed Alibi and Ruth's faces, overlapping, with the blaring headline, Like Mother, Like Son, Exclusive Interview. Oh no.
That was Chapter 24 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Man, Alibi can't catch a break. Goes from getting attacked by Dr. Bialy with that needle to all of a sudden finding out people are talking to his mom, his mother, Ruth, who's supposed to be in prison, but it sounds like she's not. Well, not prison, but, you know, locked away for mentally unstable who kill people, that kind of thing. But yeah, they're talking to Alibi's mom on the media, on the news, and we're going to pick things up there in our next episode with Chapter 25 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. That'll be next week, I believe. Yeah, next week on Glow in the Dark Radio. And man, so much news. The new book is coming, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, a brand new version of Blind Eye, a brand new version of Alibi Jones in Over His Head, the brand new short story, Alibi Jones Christmas Present, all part of that, along with The Wishing Stone, Father's Day, speaking of Ruth, it's the story of how she kills BC. Yikes, spoiler. Well, I mean, if you're reading Alibi, you kind of know that, I think. But yeah, so Father's Day is in there, and Alibi Jones Vacation. So those are the 6 short stories. The book is coming out on the 15th, and you can pre-order it now if you go to glowinthedarkradio.com/AlibiJones6shortstories. Just follow the link in the show notes. I'll be at Aresia in 2 weeks, weekend of January 18th, 19th, 2021st, doing 4 different panels and mostly stuff on comics, creating them, making them, DIYing them yourself. Wait, that's redundant. You know what I mean. That's coming up in a couple weeks in Boston, Boston Park Plaza Hotel, aresia.org. If you need info, aresia.org. My website is updated. You can get an early copy of Blind Eye if you're a Patreon or a patron. Or a patron at Patreon. There we go. I've got 3 levels. 2nd and 3rd levels get the quote-unquote free download of Blind Eye. 1st and free. Even as a wave if you want it. But again, that's for the 2nd and 3rd tiers of patrons at my Patreon page, which is patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. Man, that's a lot of news. Hope I'm not forgetting anything. Don't want to forget that our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma.
Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.